is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading we found in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious and how merciful Thou art unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Thee for all that Thou hast given to us in Him, and especially that our sins was imputed to His account, and His righteousness has been reckoned or imputed to our account, and Thou didst accept His righteousness for ours. And we praise Thee and thank Thee for it. And on the basis of that righteousness, Thou hast counted us justified before Thee from all of our sins. We rejoice in this and thank You for it. Work effectually by Thy Spirit in each and every heart today, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness then. His witness through believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered o'er the world, they preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched along in victory. Thank you.
revive the church today. Revive the church today. Revive the church.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. And my friend, we desire that you would write us and get your free copy of the book that we're giving away this month entitled Hebrews, a commentary on the book of Hebrews by Godfrey Wilson. 200 pages as he goes in and shows how the book of Hebrews lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ and shows that He is a fulfillment of all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. We want you to have a copy of this book. It's yours free and postpaid if you'll write for it. Ask for it by name, a commentary on the book of Hebrews. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Different last week, you remember we spoke to you from Romans chapter 5 on the subject of imputation, showing how by one man's disobedience, that is Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We showed you that Adam was the federal head of the human race, and he stood for each and every one of us. So that when he sinned and fell, he brought all of the human race into bondage with him, and into the consequences of his transgression, which was eternal separation from God. We showed you that Adam, as our representative, opened the door through which sin and death entered and seized upon us all. All of our suffering and pain and sorrow and heartaches came in because of sin. By this one man's disobedience, it came upon us all, for he was the federal head of the human race. I say all manner of sin, hatred, and bitterness and wickedness, murder and backbite and deceit, spitefulness and pride, all came in by Adam and were all imputed unto us. I say all the inventions of evil things, drunkenness and drugs and torture, war and famine and sickness, insanity, debauched lives, broken homes, broken marriages, hungry children, butchered babies, covetousness, greed, and all manner of lustful acts came in by Adam and were imputed to us. Yes, the first Adam, by his disobedience, opened the door to the floodgates of sin, and then hell opened her mouth wide to receive all the disobedient sons of Adam. Dear friend, this is the way that sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And that's the way you and I became sinners, by the imputation of Adam's sin unto us. It's in our nature. But praise the Lord, we also showed to you from that same fifth chapter of Romans that God was not taken by surprise when Adam sinned and fell. Oh no. He had already from eternity prepared himself another federal head in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who was willing to come and die in behalf of his people that he might bring redeemed souls into heaven with him. So we understand from Scripture then this blessed doctrine of imputation not only works in our behalf by Adam's sin being imputed to us, but it also works in our behalf by the free grace of our God being given to us in Christ, and Christ's perfect righteousness being imputed unto us because he was the federal head of the redeemed race, and what he did was put to our account, as we read to you in our Bible reading today in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. But there's another scripture I'd like to bring before you today and give you one more message on this blessed truth of imputation. This one message I would love to preach. This blessed truth of imputation. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. There we read, "And God hath made him, that is, he hath made Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, or might become the righteousness of God in him." Dear friend, our text plainly declares unto us this, that God has done something for us, something we could not have done for ourselves. And it consisted in his providing a substitute for us, one who was willing to die our death and go to our hell, the hell that we should have gone to, that we might be enabled by the power of God's grace to stand justified. I say justified before God, clothed in the righteousness of another. I say he did this so he could be just in justifying poor sinners who come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ based upon his redemptive work. I say he did this so that he could be just in justifying this poor sinner that speaks to you today. When he came and cast himself as a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, did you know that God has done this by his power? He did this according to his own gracious, loving heart. He overcame all obstacles and removed all barriers and cast down all opposition that he, out of his goodness, could save poor, hell-deserving sinners like you and me. I say it is all of God's work, this matter of reconciliation. It is all of God's work, this matter of imputation or substitution. I say salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to him. God has done this. You see, the problem of sin necessitated that God and God alone do this if ever poor sinners out of Adam's race would ever be saved or could ever be saved. It is that God must do it. And I praise him that he did do it. And this is the meat and marrow of the gospel. And that is substitution, imputation, our sins being imputed to Christ, and his righteousness being imputed unto us. Yes, my friend, if you and I could have produced a righteousness that God would have accepted, then he never would have had to come and die. If there had been any other way that God could have saved you and I, as poor sinners, he would not have come and died. But my friend, there was no other way. It had to be by substitution because we lay dead in trespasses and sins. It must be by his power because we needed to be quickened and raised from the dead. And it had to be on the basis of free grace. For if it had been on the basis of merit, your speaker would have never been saved. Again, our text, 2 Corinthians 5:21, shows us that it is in Christ that God has done all of this, that he has made a way of salvation by substitution. Listen to it again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Pick up your ears and listen. God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, we might be made, or that we might become, the righteousness of God in him. I say, dear friend, it's all in Christ. I say, apart from him, there is no salvation, no peace, no hope, no deliverance, no mercy, no putting away of sin. Or let's put it like this. All is in Christ, for he alone is our salvation. He alone is our peace, our hope, our deliverer. He alone is our mercy. And he alone could put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. And this is the theme of the whole Bible, that God's salvation, which he gives to poor, hell-deserving sinners, comes to us by blood and by power, that is, by the blood of the cross of Christ and by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, are you listening? Let me repeat it again and again. Only by Christ and in Christ and through Christ, our divine substitute, are we brought back to God. There is no other name, no other way, no other righteousness, no other blood whereby we might be saved or delivered. The Scriptures plainly declare over and over again that it's in Christ and through Christ and by Christ that a sinner is saved. So I ask you, my friend, do you know Christ? Are you in Him? Is He and He alone your hope of eternal life? Do you rest in Him as nothing at all? And Jesus Christ is your all and in all. Also, the Scriptures keep on emphasizing that all of this comes to us by grace. Ephesians 2:5, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It is wholly and completely of God's free, sovereign grace, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Titus 3:5 tells us, but according to His mercy He saved us, based upon His free, sovereign grace. And I say, what a wonder. Oh, my friend, I say, what a wonder that God would so provide such a salvation for poor, hell-deserving sinners, that it would be wholly and completely through His blood, wholly and completely given to us out of a heart of overflowing love. For we do not deserve God's salvation. He has provided it for poor sinners out of a heart of love. His Word declares that He justifies us freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again I say, what a wonder that His salvation is given to us freely. Given to us freely in Christ without cause or reason in us at all. You see, the Scriptures plainly declare that there is in us nothing that would commend us to God. Nothing but that which would compel Him to cast us into hell for eternity. For my friend, He sees nothing in us but sin. Pure, undisguised sin, which is rebellion against His authority and hatred toward His person. I say the Scripture says that He sees in us sin in all of its blackness of pride and lust and unbelief and covetousness, envy, strife, and confusion. And yet the Bible just says that He condescended. Out of free love and free grace to our souls, He condescended to come and die beneath all of our sins and have those sins imputed to Himself, so He could impute to us His perfect righteousness, put it to our account, that God might be just in justifying us and absolving us from all of our sins for Christ's sake. Don't you praise God for that? I do. My friend, I say He did all of this so we might be partakers of His divine nature, and that we might forever be free from the power and the penalty and the presence of sin. And I say this is grounds for praise and thanksgiving, don't you? I, for one, rejoice in that He's done this for my never-dying soul. And my friend, if the Scriptures teach anything, they teach this gracious truth of imputation based upon substitution, that our sins, the sins of every repentant, believing sinner, were imputed, that is, were attributed or put to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness was imputed or attributed or put to the account of each one of us based upon His substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection. And we receive this gracious blessing by faith, by our trusting and looking to and relying wholly and completely upon Him. My friend, have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever surrendered all up to Him? Have you ever cast yourself upon Him for time and for eternity? Listen now. I want to show you another truth. I want to show you from Scripture how faithfully and freely Christ acted on our behalf, acted in behalf of those who believe Him. Watch the word for, F-O-R, and let us see Christ as our substitute, as He gave Himself for us, for me. That word for means that He acted in my behalf as my representative in my place. In speaking to His disciples at the Last Supper in Luke 22, our Lord presented the bread of the supper as a type of His body, which He said is given for you, and the cup is a type of His blood, which is shed for you. Also in John 10:15, we hear Christ saying, I lay down my life for the sheep. I acted in their behalf. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I represented the sheep. I died for the sheep. And so He became what we are, sin, that He may be that we might be what He is, righteousness. And my friend, this indeed is an exchange of places. And I say this is the heart and the meat and the marrow of the gospel. And Christ did something for me as my representative. In Romans 5:6, we read Christ died for the ungodly. He died as a representative for the ungodly. He acted in behalf of the ungodly. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, meaning that there was no other way for God to put away sin except that the Lord Jesus Christ would die beneath them and so fulfill the broken law of God for us. And my friend, all of this means, as our representative, He died in our place. And I want you to get this truth today. Our God wants you to get this great truth if you get nothing else. Nothing less than the mighty power of God must work in our behalf. Christ must die for us and by His own power resurrect us if we are ever to be delivered from sin, its power, its penalty, and its presence. My friend, in education won't do it. Church membership won't do it. Going beneath the baptismal waters won't do it. Living the best that you can, or making a profession, or going to church, or saying your prayers, or giving money. It won't do it. Because we lie dead in trespasses and sins, it must be by the power of God, based upon the grace of God, because Christ has willingly died in our place and made peace by the blood of His cross. Therefore, the apostle would write to the church at Thessalonica in thanksgiving to God that the gospel had come to them not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And I could go on multiplying the Scriptures that teach salvation by substitution, showing that Christ Jesus our Lord gave Himself for us, was made a curse for us, and our sins was imputed to His account. But these are enough to show to our hearts the necessity of this great exchange of Christ dying in the place of His people if ever we were to be delivered from sin and Satan and the world and hell. Oh, my friend, have you ever faced this? Have you ever come to see by grace through faith that your sins were imputed to Christ and His righteousness was imputed to your account? Now we face the fact of how does God save a sinner? How is a poor sinner brought into this state of reality that he or she can say, Christ died for me? Will you listen? First, there must be of a necessity the knowledge of sin. For without the knowledge of sin, there is no need of salvation or a Savior. Yes, there must be a knowledge that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is here that John 16:8 tells us the Holy Spirit begins His work, and that is in convincing us of sin, the sin of unbelief. He also convinces us that we are sinners by nature, for this is the foundation of all our transgressions. By this I mean original sin, that original corruption which each of us brings into the world with us renders us liable to God's wrath and damnation. Therefore, God must come by His Spirit and to convince us that we have a real need, and that real need is to know the substitute who died in the place of sinners, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, the Holy Spirit must convince us of the holiness of God and of His righteous character against whom we have sinned. This knowledge will be of the holy God against whom we have daily sinned and hourly sinned, who must punish sin and must put it out of His presence forever. Oh, my friend, the justice of God and the wrath of God burns against every soul outside of Christ. And rightly so, because we stand as guilty criminals before His throne and rebels to His government, if we be not in His divine substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Holy Spirit must convince us of our need of a substitute and show us by His power from the Scriptures the suitableness of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then there follows the bringing forth of fruit for repentance. Yes, the soul whom God saves and brings by His Spirit into the reality of a living union with Christ. He lays down the arms of his rebellion. He cries after God for mercy in Christ. There is a confession of sin, a hatred for sin, a turn to God from sin, a mourning over sin, and the acknowledgement of my hell-deserving condition before God. And my friend, only God knows when the soul is truly repented, when he's taken the blame for his condition before God. And then saving faith is given by the Holy Spirit to look away to Christ as your only Savior and hope of deliverance from the wrath to come. My friend, the Scriptures declare that salvation is by grace, comes to us through grace and not of ours, through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is by faith that we turn unto Christ from ourselves and embrace Christ in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king, and we find in Him a suitableness for all of our needs. It is by faith that we are justified and have peace with God. It is by faith we follow Him all the days of our life. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And my dear friend, when God does save you for Christ's sake, you will never stop praising Him for having mercy upon your never-dying soul. No, you never will, because you will rejoice that He did this by His almighty power and made you see and know and acknowledge what you are and understand by faith that your sins were imputed to Christ and His righteousness was imputed to you. You'll want a copy of these two messages on imputation. So write for them. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.